random jottings of Hinge and Bracket with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Bracket. With Daphne Hurd as Maud and friends and neighbours at Stacked and Trestle in Having a Field Day.
Summer is an especially busy time in Stacked and Trestle, with all manner of outdoor events taking place. There's the flower show. There are all manner of fates, most of them worse than death. And there's the annual display in Gymkhana, organized by the Goat Fanciers Circle. I know it sounds unlikely, but there are in Stacton a surprisingly large number of people who do fancy goats. Or as the Stacton Bugle put it recently, goats are on the up and up. However, by far the biggest of summer's events is the carnival with its procession and subsequent field day and dance. Now, this is traditionally held on the second Saturday in July, and it was about this particular event that Major Dirrenforth called to see Evadne and me one morning some weeks ago.
I wondered, ladies, what, if anything, were your abiding memories of last year's carnival?
Oh, definitely the dance in the evening, Major. I'll never know how, but I remember ending up surrounded by the Rugger Club with cocktail cherries all around my feet and a sausage roll in my glass.
Yes, the hokey-cokey. I'm sure we all have very vivid memories of that, Hilda.
I don't.
You wouldn't, Evadne. You were determined not to enjoy yourself, and you didn't.
By and large, the dance was a great success. But what did you think of the procession?
Well, of course, I shall always cherish the memory of it marching resolutely into that narrow cul-de-sac. And emerging a few moments later backwards with that steamroller in hot pursuit and all those men with shovels.
Yes. That was lesson number one. Make sure all marshals know the route backwards.
They knew it perfectly backwards.
All I remember is the rain.
We all remember the rain, Evadne. It wasn't just raining on you, you know. I think one of the other lasting memories, Major, is of the float carrying the sea cadets driving straight into the river.
The sea cadets got no wetter than the rest of us. Do you know, more than 4 inches of rain fell that afternoon?
Yes, and I bet if anyone was measuring it, you were, dear.
It was the wettest July on record in Stacton.
Well, of course, you noticed it more than usual, Evadne, didn't you? Because you'd left your umbrella on the bus.
I did not leave it anywhere, Hilda. It was stolen.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Evadne. Who'd want that terrible old blue umbrella with a horse's head handle? I should think that someone handed it in to the bus conductor and he broke it over his knee, because I would have done.
You probably did.
You know, you sound a bit like me, Hilda. I once took a hat of Lorna's that I particularly disliked and dug it into the garden with the compost.
How very sneaky of you, Major.
Yes, wasn't it? She often wondered what had happened to it, but she never found out. And my rhubarb has never been better. I digress. Are there any other carnival memories, ladies? You see, I'm trying to make a point.
Good, I was beginning to wonder.
My point is that all we really seem to remember is a series of little mishaps. Now, we had a committee meeting this morning, and everyone was agreed that we must try harder to ensure that such things do not happen in the future. We can, alas, do nothing about the weather.
Oh, but there I don't agree with you, Major. Everyone knows why it always rains on the carnival. It's the curse of Cocky Legs Finnegan.
Oh. Don't tell me you're going to bring up Cocky Legs Finnegan again.
Funny, that. You know, Lorna half believes that Cocky Legs Finnegan stuff.
It's a load of superstitious nonsense, Major. Now, how could a stupid little bandy-legged apple seller possibly have affected the weather?
Perhaps if you weren't so rude about Cocky Legs, Evadne, you wouldn't get so wet. It might have been him who hid your umbrella.
An apple seller, was he? Lorna seemed to think he was a fishmonger.
No, dear, no. He sold codlings, Major. small apples, not small fish.
The size and nature of his codlins has nothing whatever to do with it. The point is, it is not a legend. It is a true story.
Well, I know it's supposed to be based on truth.
It was actually reported in the Stockton Bureau.
And we all know how reliable that is. They once referred to me as Dr. Binge.
I told you before the interview that you should have powdered your nose, dear. Anyway, according to the paper, it was Carnival Day, and Cocky Lex Finnegan was standing in the high street with his basket of codlins when a tow cart carrying one of the floats ran over his foot. Well, of course, he dropped his basket and his codlins all over the road, and nobody lifted a finger to help. So, of course, he shouted a curse on them.
She loves telling people about this, Major.
Exactly. I really cannot understand why a clever woman like you, who believes so strongly in the Ring of Nibelung, should believe in Cocky Lex Finnegan.
Then you really do believe, Hilda, that our carnival is cursed.
We know it is, Nedra. Yet everyone scoffs, like Evadne. And what's the result? Every year, on the second Saturday in July, we all march out in our nice summer frocks thinking, sunshine, sunshine, and get soaked to the skin. It's high time that someone did something about getting that curse rescinded, or whatever it is one does to curses.
Well, Hilda, by a happy quirk of fate, that task could fall to you.
What?
The committee has decided to divide the organization of the event into three separate parts. They have suggested that Lorna arranges the field day, the sports and the stalls and things like that, and that I handle the dance. Little enough to go wrong there. Just make sure the bar doesn't run dry and the band doesn't run off. And that I attempt to persuade you two, dear ladies, to take on the procession. It is, after all, something akin to a theatrical event.
Well, what an opportunity, then.
Yes, isn't it, dear? I'm sure you'll manage it very well.
It's the two of us they want, dear.
Well, still, as long as they've got the clever one.
Well, we don't need decision at once. I'll leave you two to thrash it out. I mean, talk it over between.
Don't worry, Major, we'll do it. If Evadne can't resist a challenge, can you, dear?
I am not in the least worried about organizing the procession, Hilda.
Well, of course you're not. You can use some of the ideas you picked up from the victory parade in 1919.
And risk having you say you'd seen it all before, I suppose. No, Hilda, what worries me is this element of exorcism I see creeping in.
Oh, no need to worry your head about that, Evadne. I know how to handle Cocky Lex Finnegan. To tell the truth, I haven't the foggiest idea of how to handle Cocky Legs. I thought of asking the vicar, but the last time he attempted an exorcism, he was found in a duck pond with a bulrush in his ear. Then the thought struck me. What about trying to outwit Cocky Legs? By changing the date of the carnival? Or the route? Or even the town? I mean, holding it somewhere like Bury St. Edmunds. But then I thought this might be looked upon as a confession of failure. And then eventually I thought, I know. I'll handle Cocky Legs in exactly the same way that I handle Evadne. What we have to do, Evadne, is flatter him.
How?
Make him feel important, dear.
How?
I do wish you'd stop saying how. You sound like a red Indian at a powwow. We'll get someone to make a huge effigy of Cocky Legs, and we'll give him pride of place in the procession.
And what about the carnival queen? We don't want to put her nose out of joint.
Well, why not, dear? It might improve her appearance. Do you know who it is this year, don't you?
No, I don't. Who?
Stephanie Carter, the coalman's daughter.
Well, not the ugly one who delivers the papers.
No, dear, that's Melanie.
Oh, well, that's a relief.
No, Stephanie's the even uglier one who delivers the coal.
Well, good heavens, if we put her on a float and parade her through the streets, they'll probably stone her.
We can but hope, dear.
Now, I tell you what, Hilda, we'll be artful. We'll divert people's attention from her. We'll put her and her attendants on the same float as your giant effigy of Cocky Legs Finnegan.
Oh, I don't think that would be wise, dear. After all, it was a coal cart that ran over his foot in the first place. Mm. If we saddled him with the coalman's repulsive daughter, it would surely be adding insult to injury.
Yes, if we're going to saddle anyone, it ought to be her, really.
I understand she's known among the local lads as Nutty Slick. And she certainly looks both.
What do you suggest, then?
I suggest we put Cocky Legs first and Stephanie second, and tell her she's in the best position. She's stupid enough to believe it.
Very well. Now, let me make a note of this. Say we have the silver band first.
Oh, and we must ask them to walk a little slower this year, dear. It's so undignified when we all have to break into a run to keep up.
All right, I've got that. So there's the silver band crawling along at the front.
There's no need for it to crawl, evidently. All that I ask is that it walks normally. It's the Stacton Carnival, dear, not the Stacton Marathon.
Right, so there's the silver band walking perfectly normal.
Yes, that sounds lovely.
Now, behind the band comes Cocky Legs Finnegan.
Covered in flowers.
Covered in flowers.
And dripped in flags.
Well, I'm going to leave all that to you, Hilda. It's getting a little vulgar for my taste. Then comes the Carnival Queen.
God help us.
Amen. And then what?
Why not the little man with the elephant?
No. Definitely not, Hilda. Not after what that elephant did to me last year. And I'd just given it a bum.
The trouble with you, Evadne, is that you don't understand the ways of elephants, dear. You unsettle them.
I didn't like that man, and I didn't like his elephant.
Couldn't we stick it right at the very end, dear? I mean, as long as nothing's following it.
Yes, all right, very well. By the way, tell me, what is the theme of the Women's Institute float this year?
Things you find in fields.
Well, I hope that's wise. What sort of things?
Oh, I don't know. Mushrooms and flowers and twigs and rabbit holes.
How in heaven's name do you dress up as a rabbit hole?
No idea. But I bet someone in the WI knows. It's a pity you're not on their float, Evadne. You could have gone as a stick insect.
And you could have gone as a wasp. Anyway, now to the most important point. Where are we going to put the Stepton Operatic and Theatre Society? In other words, us.
How about right in the middle there? Just as they're getting bored to death, we come on and pick the whole show up off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we must make sure that everything that follows us is rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Well, that shouldn't be difficult. Mind you, we must be as far as possible from the two bands if we're going to advertise the production of Tom Jones. I can't bear being oompa'd whilst I'm playing the piano.
That's quite understandable. Mm.
Now, I suggest we make a tableau out of Act Two. You know, the Inn at Upton. And we'll sing a selection from the score.
One song we ought to do, dear, is Honor's Song. You know, as all the maids. I do say Doris. I say, you don't happen to have it handy, do you, dear?
Now, you know very well I do. Do you want to run through it now?
Well, why not, dear? Oh, and do try not to worry about the elephant, Evadne. I'm sure it hasn't got that long a memory. It might even get to like you in the end. Or is that a word I shouldn't use?
Shut up and sing.
As all the beads and by one day put in the meadow of making hay, there came the lane a tip-top in dark, a gentleman fine from London at home. And oh, he looked at me, he looked askance at me. I felt my cheeks go flaming red. I hadn't got eyes in the back of my head. But I knew that he looked, I knew that he looked, I knew that he looked at me. I'm going to London town, and I've lost my way across the down. If one of you maids will show the way, a kiss for the service I will pay. And oh, he looked at me, he looked askance. dear, to kiss in the silver crown, and come with me sweet to London town. And don't he look at me, he looked askance at me, and when I found the heart to cry, kind sir, do you see any grief in my eye?
Looking at us. Oh, that sounds like Maud.
Does she go on a float?
Oh, no, dear. She prefers to walk.
Banned, was she?
Good morning, Dame Hilda. Doctor.
Hello, Maud.
Good morning, Maud.
I know what you've come for. The bottles for your stall, dear. I put some out there on the kitchen table.
Do you know? They've not given me the bottle stall this year.
Well, that's a relief. I hear they're still digging broken glass out of the cricket pitch from last year.
Well, that's nothing to do with me, Doctor. They've been playing with glass balls, I shouldn't wonder.
So, what are you doing this year, then, Maud?
Well, Mrs. Derrinforth reckoned as I should have something more suited to my particular talents, Dangleda.
And?
I'm captain of the ladies' tug-of-war team.
Pulling your weight at last.
If you've any complaints about my work, Doctor, I'll thank you to address them to Dame Hilda.
Oh, Doctor's only joking, aren't you, Daphne? Aren't you, Daphne?
Yes, dear. If you say so.
Mind, you never know the trouble we had finding somewhere suitable to practice. Arthur won't let us do it at home, you know.
Why ever not, dear?
Well, I don't know. He's getting ever so set in his ways. See, I had the ladies' tug-of-war team round to the house on Saturday.
That must have been nice for him.
But perhaps rather heavy going, eh, though?
Well, we was all in the garden, you see, and my Arthur were sitting in his deck chair, dozing. Grab hold of the end of the rope, I says, just as a joke. And he does.
Oh, dear.
So, he has hold of one end, and my six ladies has hold of the other.
Yeah.
Now, whether he weren't ready or not, I don't know. Any road, I shouts, heave! And my lot heaved. Well, all I seed were my heart had flashed by me up the path. He shot in through the French windows and out through the front door, and he'd have been in Scotland, shouldn't wonder, but for that bird bath.
They're such handy things to have about, aren't they? Like sundials.
1 minute it were full of water and bathing birds, and the next it were all over Arthur. Ruined it, he did.
Leaving you a garden full of dirty birds.
Did he hurt himself, dear?
You never heard such a fuss in all your born days. You reckoned he twisted his knee, he did. Oh, well, one of my ladies darn soon twisted it back for him.
The merciful healing hands of the ladies' tug-of-war team.
She is a physiotherapist, Doctor.
That's not what Arthur called her. No bones broken, Maud.
I were coming to that.
Well, I thought you might be.
It was entirely his own fault, Doctor. If he'd not got straight back in his deck chair and not sat there facing that tree, he'd have been perfectly all right.
What had the tree got to do with it?
Well, we tied our rope round the tree to have another little tug-like.
Yes, I thought that was probably it.
But if he was facing the tree, Maud, surely he must have seen it coming.
Oh, he seen it coming all right, Dame Hilda. And the great daft lummox leaps out of his chair to avoid it, trips over his teapot, and plunges straight into the pond.
Well, you should be thankful for small mercies, Maud. At least he avoided the tree, didn't he?
No, that were just it.
You don't mean to say that that poor man was trapped in the fish pond under a tree?
Well, yes, I do, Doctor. He was. Do you know, when I first glimpsed him through the foliage, he had a water lily on his head and a goldfish behind his ear.
You did get him out, I hope, Maud.
Well, of course we got him out, Doctor. Our rope was still round the tree. So my ladies grabs hold and I shouts, Eve. You know, out comes Arthur. You know, that clumsy fool had somehow managed to get his collarbone broke. He's accident prone.
Poor Arthur.
Oh, sympathy's quite wasted on that man, Dame Hilda. After all we'd done to help him, he's still not let us practice at home. That's why I was wondering if we might...
No, dear. Definitely not.
Well, I simply don't understand it. The ladies' tug-of-war team don't seem welcome anywhere.
You'll be walking in the procession, I hope,
Maud. Oh, yes, David. All of us. We've had special uniforms
made. Oh, really?
Green and yellow striped dresses, yes. Green and yellow striped blazers, ooh, yellow shoes, and green and yellow bands round our boaters.
Good heavens, dear. You'll look like a plague of caterpillars. Still, we know where we can place them in the procession, don't we, Hilda?
Where's that, dear?
Right behind the elephant.
And so, the day finally dawned. The procession formed up in the schoolyard. The rugby club, as usual, proved extremely imaginative. They sprayed themselves from head to toe in silver paint and came as apostle spoons. Though some of their postures were most unapostle-like. Evania and I set up our headquarters in the headmaster's study, and it was from here, as the time for the off approach, that we eagerly scanned the sky. What's it doing, Evania?
Clouding up very rapidly.
Well, of course, I never promised this would work.
You gave everyone out there the idea that it would. Look at them, not a care in the world, not an umbrella between them.
Evadne, why are you putting your mackintosh on?
I never believed it in the first place.
Take that mackintosh off at once, this instant. I absolutely insist. You'll ruin it for everybody. Besides, it makes you look like a toe-puddle martyr.
Very well, Hilda, but I warn you, if I get drenched again...
Listen to that. Evadne, would you say those dark clouds were coming or going?
I'd say they were stopping right by the hour, dear. Overhead.
Look, I tell you what, nip down and ask them to pile more flowers around Cocky Legs.
And where are they supposed to get them from at this late stage?
Tell them to take them from the WI float. They've got far too many. It looks like a mobile lying in state.
I say, Hilda, I've just noticed... They've got the bonnet up on Cocky Legs' truck.
What?
And Major Durrenforth coming this way looking very serious.
Oh, no. Oh, if anything's gone wrong, Evadne, I shall blame it on your disbelief, and I shall burn your mackintosh.
I say, Hilda, we've got a bit of a problem.
Oh, no.
We can't get that first float started.
Oh, well, then we must delay the off until we can, Major.
Which brings me to the second problem. The silver band won't wait.
Wait.
Well, what can you expect with a bank manager for a bandmaster? He has just informed me, in that voice he normally reserves for refusing a loan, that he was told to march off at 2 o'clock sharp, and that at 2 o'clock sharp he's going to march willy-nilly.
Evadne, go down and stop that pompous little man at once. Tell him we shall take our accounts elsewhere. And our overdraft.
Too late. I'm definitely putting on my mackintosh.
We'll have to leave Cocky Legs where he is, I'm afraid, Hilda, and tell the rest to follow on. They can get round all right.
No, Major. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get the rugger cart to push and the ladies' tug-of-war to pull. And if they can't get Cocky Legs on the road, we'll block it. No Cocky Legs, no parade.
Don't worry, Hilda. Leave it to me.
I say, Hilda... It may be a coincidence, but I do believe the sun is breaking through.
There you are. The curse is lifting. Cocky Legs Finnegan is placated at last. Evadne, give me that mackintosh.
What do you want it for?
I'm going to burn it, dear. I've never liked it any more than I like that awful blue umbrella of yours with the horse's head handle.
Thank you.
That was Having a Field Day, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett, written by Gerald Frau. To assist Dr. Vadney Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, as usual, we welcome Daphne Hurd as Maud. Our thanks also to this week's guest, Anthony Sharp, and to the members of the Stacton Fessel Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by John Dias.